Now renowned as a much loved and highly respected BBC journalist, our first guest today has spent 20 years finding the human story behind the headlines. In 2015, she found herself at the heart of the news herself with a devastating breast cancer diagnosis. With honesty and openness, she decided to live out her treatment and recovery in the spotlight in a series of video diaries that encouraged thousands to seek diagnosis and help. Please welcome to the show, Victoria Derbyshire. Thanks for joining us, Victoria.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you at the moment?
I am very well, thank you. Yeah, I had a checkup recently and all is good, all is good. So I'm happy.
That's fantastic. So taking you back, how did you find out? Was it a routine mammogram or did you have a lump or what happened?
None of those things.
Oh.
I noticed one evening as I was getting ready for bed, that my right side, my right breast, effectively had sort of collapsed. It had dropped lower than the other side. So I thought, that doesn't look right, but I'll sort it in the morning. I wasn't worried. I wasn't anxious. And got up early for work the next morning and thought, oh, I'll just Google it, which is when various explanations came up, including, you know, surgery, breastfeeding, hereditary, that kind of thing. And then it just said breast cancer. And at that moment, I thought, oh my gosh, I might have breast cancer. And there was a sort of profound shift in everything because I thought, if this is true, then I'm kind of not in control anymore. And that's really worrying. So I went to the GP. I said, you know, please can you check this out? He said, I'm referring you for an emergency appointment. And within 5 days, it was confirmed that it was breast cancer. It was malignant.
That feeling, that moment, I mean, I've, touch wood, not had breast cancer or any sort of cancer, but my mum's had breast cancer twice, and it was that moment, she said, when she heard, that was the hardest to accept.
I knew what was coming. I knew there was no other explanation. Obviously, I had to wait for it to be confirmed medically, but when the GP said, I'm sorry, it is malignant, I knew that was what the explanation was. So although it felt like I was being crushed momentarily, very quickly I was composed and asking questions and already into the, okay, practical, pragmatic mode, how do we get rid of it?
Yeah, and also I think you become probably, as my mum did, the strong one, because telling your family can't do anything and they sort of break down around you and you have to say stay strong and pragmatic.
Yeah, I mean my partner was amazing. My partner Mark totally stepped up and was unbelievably supportive, strong, caring, all those things. And you don't know how people are going to react. You don't know if people are going to step up. And then we have two children, and after a few weeks, after various tests and biopsies and scans, we told them the truth. And I felt I could tell them the truth because by that point, I knew that my cancer was treatable, you know. So I was one of the lucky ones, albeit via a mastectomy and chemotherapy and radiotherapy. I knew I wasn't going to die. And although there was clearly some sort of brutal months ahead, I felt able to tell our children the truth and to say, look, I'm going to be all right. There's going to be some tricky times and some stressful times in the next few months, but we'll kind of muck in as a family and we'll get through it. And they took it, actually. My boys were 11 and 8. They absolutely accepted it until the next day when my 11-year-old said to me as he was getting ready for bed, Mummy, are you not angry that you've got cancer? Because I am.
Aww.
And I've totally felt for him. And I said, you know what? Actually, I'm not angry because these are the stats and there's no point wasting your energy on anger when actually you need to focus all your energy on getting well. And he accepted that.
Oh, bless him.
I know.
Bless him. And I tell you what, even if you've only helped one person by coming onto the Lifestyle Show, you've helped me because I honestly didn't know. I thought I knew all the signs to look for because we're told and obviously, you know, we know what we're supposed to look for, feel for a lump, certain things. But I didn't know that if one of your boobs dropped that could be breast cancer.
Well, and neither did I. So it dropped a couple of inches below the left side, and also the nipple looked as though it was being pulled back, sort of, so it was inverting a little bit, and it just looked so wrong. It was clear that I had to get it checked out as soon as possible, which I'm obviously really, really glad that I did.
And was it painful?
Not in the slightest. Not in the slightest. It just looked really bizarre and odd, but not painful at all, no.
Now, this series of video diaries, I think it's very brave. I've sat and watched some of them, although my eyes glazed over a few times. What made you decide to do that?
A couple of reasons. I'm a journalist. I work on TV. And also, I'm quite an open person. And I thought, okay, if I can do some kind of journalistic project through this treatment, if I can record what happens when you have a mastectomy or what chemotherapy is like, then I thought that would be a useful thing to do, to sort of normalise the treatment, because 58,000 women every year in the UK, at least, will be diagnosed with breast cancer. So I thought, if I could demystify that, that would be a helpful thing. I had absolutely no idea that the reaction would be what it was, which was not only complete strangers, you know, sending me inspirational messages of encouragement and good luck, but also people who were about to face treatment saying, oh my gosh, I've just watched your video diary about having a mastectomy and it's taken the fear away for me, which was unbelievable and totally humbling and something that I had not expected to come out of filming my treatment.
Yeah, like we say, just one person, but it seems like you've helped a lot, an awful lot. And what is chemotherapy like, Victoria?
I would describe it as unterrifying and unpleasant, effectively a combination of drugs, depending on your cancer, depending on your treatment, are injected into you, either through a cannula in the top of your left hand or through a drip. The actual sensation as it's going in you can make you retch a little bit, although they give you anti-sickness tablets. It can make you feel really drowsy. I describe it as similar to like having a hangover, but without the fun stuff. That's you know, in the hours as the drugs are going into you and immediately afterwards. Obviously, the more sessions of chemotherapy you have, then the other side effects can potentially kick in. And again, these side effects don't apply to everybody. Hair loss, feeling absolutely exhausted and drained, and muscle ache and all those kind of things. And I did lose my hair despite wearing what's called a cold cap, which is this sort of freezing thing that you put on your head during chemo to try to stop the drugs reaching your hair follicles. And it can preserve your hair, and it does work for some people. It didn't quite work for me. I lost probably about 2/3 of my hair, which was really, really upsetting.
So
unterrifying but unpleasant.
It is, you are correct, and worse for a woman to lose their hair, it really is. You, on one of your video diaries, you showed people about you wearing a wig for the first time. How did that feel? I have to say, it looked great on you.
Thank you. it felt surreal, you know, it was almost as though it was happening to someone else. I couldn't believe I was A, losing my hair, no, I couldn't believe A, I had cancer, B, I was losing my hair, C, I was wearing a wig. The wig was so important to me in terms of being able to go to work. I knew I wanted to work when physically able to through my treatment. And because I work on television, I thought if I go to work wearing a brightly coloured scarf or with my hair shaven or whatever, then it will detract from the kind of stories that we're doing and the kind of interviewees, you know, that we have on the programme. So I thought wearing a wig at least makes me look reasonably normal. And lots of people didn't realise, which was amazing, until I told them, and then they said, oh my gosh, I didn't realise, which was amazing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Did it grow back okay, your hair?
Yes, it's come back. It's not the same length as it used to be, but I'm lucky because, again, it doesn't happen for everybody. My hair has come back pretty much like it was, the same thickness and colour and that kind of thing. So in that respect, I'm very lucky.
And did you have to have radiotherapy as well?
I did. I had 30 sessions of radiotherapy, which compared to chemotherapy, anybody listening who's had both of these will know that radiotherapy can be pretty easy compared to chemo, pretty straightforward. It was just, you know, an appointment every day for however many weeks it was, which you know, is slightly boring, if I'm honest, and inconvenient. But then I would stop myself and say, look, I'm lucky enough to have a cancer that is treatable with radiotherapy. Some people aren't offered radiotherapy because they can't be treated, and so you have to keep checking yourself, you know?
Yeah, you have to. I suppose no matter how unlucky you feel, you have to think, well, I'm luckier than others.
Exactly. And I really do.
And I've got Monday, February the 22nd, you had your last chemotherapy session. How did that feel?
It was amazing. It was, I expected to get to the end of it and to be cheering and sort of skipping around the chemotherapy suite. Actually, I was much more subdued. I was delighted, obviously, that it was over, but I just started to cry, and I couldn't stop crying because it was just the kind of realization that bit, that most brutal part of the treatment, was over, and I was just really quiet and shell shocked a bit, I think, and I couldn't stop crying for about 2 hours, and then I had no more tears left, and then I was full of joy, completely got a little bit of my feistiness back. Kids came home, bought me a massive bunch of flowers, and they came in from school and they said, "Happy end of chemo, Mummy!" And it was celebratory. It really was. It was amazing. It really was.
And then, as a true pro, a true journalist, she then flew to Glasgow to present a debate on the European referendum.
I know, that was a bit mad. When I look back, I think I cannot believe that I did that. But I was so glad to be suddenly back in the normal routine, yeah, sort of thing, you know. But yeah. Hopped on a plane and went to Glasgow.
So you did these video diaries. Have you then put what you said in the video diaries into your book? Is that how the book works?
Some of it. So the book is based on my written... I've been writing a diary since I was 9. And so I've got... the book is based on my written diaries of 2015 to 2016. And some of what I used in the video diaries is in the book, but not much. It's much more detailed, much more in-depth. And it starts from before I was diagnosed, which, of course, my video diaries start after I've had my operation.
Yes, of course, because that's the other thing, isn't it? Having a mastectomy, that's a difficult thing for a woman.
You know what? It wasn't for me. I absolutely understand that it is for some women. I did not care about having a breast removed. I really didn't. I just wanted to get the cancer out of me, get rid of it, and it was not a problem for me at all, and I remember when I woke up from the operation, I was euphoric because I thought, whoa, a major part of my treatment is out of the way and the cancer's gone. I completely understand for some people it's much more challenging than that, but for me it just wasn't.
Well, you've certainly taken some of the fear out of it for me. I'm sure you've helped others, as you have been doing along the way. If you want to buy the book, dear listener, it's called Dear Cancer, Love Victoria, A Mum's Diary of Hope. And it's out now, so you can buy it for someone as a Christmas present too.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Victoria. You're a true inspiration. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.